So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, entitled Brahma Stealing the Boys and Calves. It's text number 61. Tatra Udvahat Pashupa Vamsha Shushut Vatnat Yam Advaitam Advaityam. I'm sorry, I left out a word. I left out Brahma. Anantam Agadabodham Vatsan Sakin Ivapura Parita Vichinvat Ekam Sapani Kavalam Parameshti Achasta Dadrod Vahat Pashupavam Shashu Shishutvanatyam. Brahma Dvayam Param Anantam Agadabodham. Vatsan sakinni vapura parito vichinvad. Ekam sapani kavalam parameshya chasta. Tatro vahat Pashupapvamsha Shishutvanatyam. Brahmadvayam Paramanantam Agadabodham. Vatsan Sakinni Vapura Parito Vichinvad. Ekam sapani kavalam parameshyam ascha. Ladies, please.
Ladies, please.
Tatra, there, in Vrindavan, Udvahat, assuming, Pashupavamsha, Shishutvanatyam, the play of being a child in a family of cowherd men. Another of Krishna's names is Gopala. He who maintains the cows. Brahma, the absolute truth. Advayam, without a second. Param, the supreme. Anantam, unlimited. Agad Bodham, possessing unlimited knowledge. Vatsan, the calves. Sakin, and his friends, the boys. Ivapura, just as before. Parita, everywhere. Vichinvat, searching. Ekam, alone, all by himself. Sapani Kavalam, with a morsel of food in his hand. Parameshti, Lord Brahma. Akashta, saw. Translation, then Lord Brahma saw the absolute truth, who is one without a second, who possesses full knowledge, and who is unlimited. Assuming the role of a child in a family of cowherd men and standing all alone, just as before, with a morsel of food in his hand, searching everywhere for the calves and his cowherd friends. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The word Agada Bodham, meaning full of unlimited knowledge. It's significant in this verse. The Lord's knowledge is unlimited and therefore cannot touch where it ends, just as one cannot measure the ocean. What is the extent of our intelligence in comparison to the vast expansions of water in the ocean? On my passage to America, how insignificant the ship was, like a matchbox in the midst of the ocean. Krishna's intelligence resembles the ocean, for one cannot imagine how vast it is. The best course, therefore, is to surrender to Krishna. Don't try to measure Krishna. The word Advayam, meaning one without a second, is also significant, because Brahma was outcast by Krishna's Maya. He was thinking himself the supreme. In the material world, everyone thinks, I am the best man in this world. I know everything, one thinks. Why should I read Bhagavad Gita? I know everything. I have my own interpretation. Brahma, however, was able to understand that the supreme personality of Godhead is Krishna, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Another of Krishna's names, therefore, is Parameshvara. Now, Brahma saw Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, appearing as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, not demonstrating his opulence, but standing just like an innocent boy with some food in his hand. loitering with his cowherd boyfriends, calves and cows. Brahma did not see Krishna as Chaturbhuja, the opulent Narayan. Rather, he simply saw an innocent boy. Nonetheless, he could understand that although Krishna was not demonstrating his power, he was the same supreme person. People generally do not appreciate someone unless he shows something wonderful. But here, although Krishna did not manifest anything wonderful, Brahma could understand that the same wonderful person was present like an ordinary child, although he was the master of the whole creation. Thus Brahma prayed, Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Pajami. You are the original person, the cause of everything. I bow down to you. This was his realization. Tamaham Bajami. This is what he wanted. This is what is wanted. Thank you. Vedeshu Durlabham. One cannot reach Krishna merely by Vedic knowledge. Adurlabham Atma Bhakto. But when one becomes a devotee, then one can realize him. Brahma therefore became a devotee. In the beginning, he was proud of being Brahma, the Lord of the universe. But now he understood, here is the Lord of the universe. I am simply an insignificant agent. Govindamadi Purusham Tamahapajami. Krishna was playing like a dramatic actor. Because Brahma had some false prestige, thinking that he had some power, Krishna showed him his real position. A similar incident occurred when Brahma went to see Krishna in Dwarka. When Krishna's doorman informed Lord Krishna that Lord Brahma had arrived, Krishna responded, "Which Brahma?" "Ask him which Brahma." The doorman relayed this question, and Brahma was astonished. "Is there another Brahma besides me?" he thought. When the doorman informed Lord Krishna, "It is four-headed Brahma," Lord Krishna said, "Oh, four-headed. Call others. Show him." This is Krishna's position. For Krishna, the four-headed Brahma is insignificant, to say nothing of four-headed scientists. Materialist scientists think that although this planet Earth is full of opulence, all others are vacant because they simply speculate this is their scientific conclusion. But from the Bhagavatam, we understand that the entire universe is full of living entities everywhere. Thus, this is the folly of the scientists, that although they do not know anything, they mislead people by presenting themselves as scientists, philosophers, and men of knowledge. Om Agnanasamirandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Chakshu Ulmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So yesterday when Nikama Prabhu was speaking, I knew I was giving class today, the next day, so I thought to myself, what would I start off by saying? And then Nikama Prabhu, he took the words right out of my mouth, because Prabhu said that here is the end of the Bhagavatam. We have two more verses that Srila Prabhupada personally, let's see, 61, there's three. There's three verses left. Srila Prabhupada translated up to text number 64 of chapter 13, And that was the end of what he translated. So, you know, who could imagine? These purports are so long. They're so lengthy. And Srila Prabhupada is still preaching very strongly. As we saw last night in the Srila Prabhupada movie, Srila Prabhupada preached very strongly at times. He preached with a lot of courage. And we saw that little clip where Srila Prabhupada was so emphatic with what he was saying. And he was preaching Krishna's word with so much faith and conviction. So here, coming down to the end of his personally translating the Bhagavatam, we can see that Srila Prabhupada is still preaching very strongly. In the purport, it's interesting to note that Srila Prabhupada says that the word agada bodham, meaning full of unlimited knowledge, is significant in this verse. The Lord's knowledge is unlimited, and therefore one cannot touch where it ends, just as one cannot measure the ocean. So let's take a moment to imagine. Think of the ocean. Okay, I see some people have their eyes closed. So they must be imagining, what is this ocean? How vast this ocean, how big this ocean must be. For those of you that have flown in planes before, which I think we all have, and we look down at the oceans, we look at the mountains, and we see how large it is. And then we think about how insignificant we are. And just imagine, we have this whole universe, all this creation. So now we have 3/4 of the creation is spiritual and 1/4 is material. So here we are in this material creation. And then there's many universes. So if we look up at night at the stars, we can't even see the whole material creation because our eyes won't permit us to see that. But just imagine what we can see. If you're out in the desert, you're up in a mountain, you can see lots of stars, you see planets are up there. So just imagine that. And there's so many living entities on all of these planets. Material scientists will say, well, this is the only planet that there's life, and there's no life on any other planets. So then imagine we have this Earth planet, and we've all looked at the globe, we've all looked at, you know, pictures when they've sent the rocket ships, and they've taken a picture of the Earth. So the Earth looks very big. Look how much water there is. Now we zero in on the planet. Now we imagine the oceans. We imagine the depth of the ocean. We imagine the different bodies of land. For those of you that have been in, say, Australia before, okay, that's a very large piece of land. Or Asia, that's a big continent. And it takes forever to travel across these big bodies of land. But then let's imagine the United States. So we have North America. Now we have the United States. Now imagine, how long does it take to drive across from the East Coast to the West Coast? Imagine, now we have a particular state. We have the state of California. So imagine how big this state is. Then we have cities within all of these states. I mean, within the state. Then, within the city of, let's say, Los Angeles, now we have little counties or little towns. And within those little towns, we've got sections. We've got streets. Within those streets, we have places where people live. So you can see how we're just slowly shrinking up, how big this universe is, how big the creation is. And then there's us, the insignificant person. Now think about for a second, how big are we? We are 1/10,000th the size of a tip of a hair. So we're very small. And Krishna's creation is unlimited. And this knowledge, as Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, full of unlimited knowledge. Lord Krishna's knowledge is unlimited. So because it's unlimited, and because the nature of the soul is to be eternal, this is what everyone is looking for. Everyone is looking for eternality, eternal life. Everyone is looking for bliss. Everyone is looking for knowledge. And the more we read, the more we study Srila Prabhupada's books, the more we realize that there is to be learned. So this Krishna consciousness is an ocean of nectar. It's an ocean of bliss. And as we can see, even in the kirtans, we're experiencing happiness. Because that's the nature, and we're becoming satisfied by that, because that is the nature of the living entity, is to experience this bliss. So we cannot measure how large is Krishna's creation. We cannot measure how large is Krishna's knowledge. And Srila Prabhupada, up until the very end, and we saw this last night, the very end, Srila Prabhupada was preaching Krishna consciousness. Think about how many hours Srila Prabhupada spent, even in the quarters, upstairs, from very early in the morning, after maybe sleeping for just a few hours, Srila Prabhupada would get up and translate Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada was Gudikesh, he was conqueror of sleep. And so Srila Prabhupada set the perfect example for us. The perfect example on how to be Krishna conscious. Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago to show us how to be a devotee. Srila Prabhupada is carrying the chain of the cyclic succession down, starting all the way from Krishna in the form of his books. Srila Prabhupada is actually personally present here. He's personally present sitting here on the Vyasasana. He's personally present in his words as we experience every day. And showing us till the very end of life what it means to be a devotee. So the best course, as Srila Prabhupada writes in the first paragraph, is to surrender to Krishna. Don't try to measure Krishna. So towards the very end of Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, Krishna says to Arjuna, Sarva Dharma Parit Yaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Yish Yami Masuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Very interesting word for word translation here. Masuchaha. Who knows what Masuchaha means? Don't worry. Do not fear. If we simply surrender to the process of Krishna consciousness, if we simply surrender unto me, me spelt with a capital M, as Krishna says, he will deliver us from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, the Lord has described various kinds of knowledge and processes of religion. Knowledge of the Supreme Brahman, knowledge of the Supersoul, knowledge of the different types of orders and status of life, knowledge of the renounced order of life, knowledge of non-attachment, sense and mind control, meditation, etc. He has described in so many ways different types of religion. Now, in summarizing Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that Arjuna should give up all the processes that have been explained to him. He should simply surrender to Krishna. That surrender will save him from all kinds of sinful reactions, for the Lord personally promises to protect him. In the seventh chapter, it is said, that only one who has become free from all sinful reactions can take to the worship of Lord Krishna. Thus, one may think that unless he is free from all sinful reactions, he cannot take to the surrendering process. To such doubts, it is here said that even if one is not free from all sinful reactions, simply by the process of surrendering to Sri Krishna, he is automatically freed. There is no need of strenuous effort to free oneself from sinful reactions. One should unhesitatingly accept Krishna as the supreme savior of all living entities with faith and love. One should surrender unto him. So faith. Faith is, of course, a very important ingredient in anything that we do. So in Krishna consciousness, we have to have faith. Srila Prabhupada said that if you simply chant 16 rounds a day and follow the four regular principles, you will go back to Godhead. In the third text of the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the most confidential knowledge, Ashradhara Purusha Dharmasyasya Parantapa Apapyamam Nivartante Mrityu Samsara Vartmani. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore, they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport, the faithless cannot accomplish this process of devotional service. That is the purport of this verse. Faith, and this is very important, faith is created by association with devotees. Unfortunate people, even after hearing all the evidence of Krishna literature from great personalities, still have no faith in God. So faith is extremely important. And by having faith in Krishna consciousness and associating with the Vaishnavas and establishing that faith, then one can continue in this process of Krishna consciousness. So it was a rather long purport. So today is Vrikresh Warapandit's disappearance. So I just wanted to say a few words about that. One thing that I know is that Vrikresh Warapandit, a great personality, he danced 72 hours continually. Needless to say, he got the mercy of the Lord. Bhrigupati Prabhu, if you've got a few other things that you would like to add, if the microphone can be brought over to you, please. And then we'll take a moment for some questions and some discussion.
I only remembered one other thing, and I hope I'm remembering it correctly. Devananda Pandit was a speaker on the Bhagavatam, but he was a great scholar, but he wasn't explaining things from the devotional perspective, or at least not pure devotional perspective. So anyway, I think it was Gadadhar Pandit who was attending his recitations of the Bhagavatam, and Gadadhar Pandit, of course, was pure devotee. Srivas Thakur was attending? Okay, Srivas Thakur went. And so he was listening to the recitation of the Bhagavatam, even though Devananda Pandit wasn't explaining it from a devotional perspective. He, just because he was so inspired by the words of the Bhagavatam, he went into ecstasy and he was displaying ecstatic symptoms. And but he was removed from the assembly. And I think Devananda Pandit had something to do with that, right? His students did it. So anyway, he didn't object. And so that was an offense to Srivas Thakur. And so he was not able to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya because of that. But then he, fortunately, Vikeshvara Pandit was preaching, and he became, Devananda Pandit took shelter of Vikeshvara Pandit. And by the mercy of Vikeshvara Pandit, he became delivered. He became a Vaishnava, and he became won over to the proper understanding of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and surrendered and engaged in devotional service. So that's the other thing that I know. Only other thing I know about Vikeshvara Pandit.
Jai, anybody have anything else to add about Vikeshvara Pandit? Okay. Does anyone have any comments or questions? The hands are going up. The smiles are on the faces. Okay. Okay. Neela?
Life on other planets, how...
You were thinking of Srila Prabhupada's example?
Yeah, if you look at the ocean, it looks like there's nothing there if you're on a boat. But we all know that there's millions of living creatures which are underneath. So our eyes are quite limited. And another example I was thinking of is if you look at a squirrel, they all kind of look the same. But if you look at people, there's so much difference between us. And why is that? It's because our eyes can only pick up the differences between the people, cannot pick up the differences between the squirrel. You know? And so our eyes are limited and very limited. And scientists are putting so much, even though also microbes and germs, they know that they require an advanced machine to actually see. So they say perhaps, maybe, and they make these claims that there's nothing in the universe, but they should actually just start with their defective senses and then take from authority. Anyway, that's just my thought.
Jai, thank you very much. Okay, Prabhu.
Thank you for the nice class.
Jai,
I was just
wondering,
is preaching considered non-different from chanting Hare Krishna? Because in Prabhupada's purport, so many times he says that at the end of our life we should be absorbed in chanting. But by his personal example, till the last moment he was preaching, and also he called book distribution sankirtan, which literally means congregational chanting. So can you explain that?
So when we're preaching, we're chanting. We're chanting the glories of the Lord. So preaching is chanting. Chanting Hare Krishna on beads, that's chanting. That's actually our first instruction, is to chant 16 rounds a day. We do see that Srila Prabhupada, at the very end, he was chanting. You can see he was chanting Hare Krishna. So preaching is chanting. Yes, it's a form of chanting. It's not... When we speak about chanting Hare Krishna or chanting our rounds, it's a little bit different, because it's not chanting Hare Krishna or chanting our rounds, but we're speaking of Krishna, so it is chanting. Preaching is chanting. Does anyone else have something they would like to add to that that point? Sachinanoi Prabhu?
No adding to this, but I was just remembering when you were describing about the unlimited knowledge. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is described that it is said that the scientists and philosophers that may be able to count the grains of sand or count the waves in the ocean or the stars in the universe, but they may never be able to count the wonderful qualities of Krishna and the knowledge of Krishna. And in regards to Devananda Pandey and Vakeshwara Pandey, the way he describes how he started doing service to Vakeshwara Pandey is because he was known to be Vakeshwara Pandey, a person who would dance for 72 hours. He became so attracted to him that he started with a, you know, like pushing people away so that so his to be guru will be able to that.
For those in watching at home or listening on the radio through the internet, I apologize. The batteries in the microphone ran out, so you weren't able to hear the what Sachinanoi Prabhu was saying. So I hope everyone here and on the internet, Hare Krishna. Hope everyone has a wonderful day in Krishna consciousness, and thank you very much for coming to Srimad Bhagavatam class today. Srila Prabhupada ki!
Messages, or I'll get phone calls, or I'll get emails, or they'll tell me.
Yes.